Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. So have you ever thought about running for office? Maybe you have. Do you know, like, all those ducks that you got to put in a row to do that? So you can just traipse on down that campaign trail, talking about issues, meeting people, understanding their ideas, and not have to worry a ton about some of that stuff that happens in the background, like campaign messaging. Like, well, don't forget, you know, there are some mistakes you can make. There's do's and don'ts out there. Some of them definitely very legal. And others are just kind of best practices. Campaigns 101 is campaign school. Today, guess who? Mike Sistak joins us from the American Farm Bureau Federation. They've been doing this for a number of years. There'll be a campaign school upcoming in Montana as well later on this month. But let's get into the do's and the don'ts, the what's and the whatnots of campaigns here today on Voices of Montana. Get right into it. I mean, I think you think about running and you want to kind of get a handle on the issues. Do you have a handle on on all of the issues? You want to maybe have a few that you're really running on. There's some best practices out there, and there are, thank goodness there are organizations out there that want to help you in that regard. And Mike Sistak is leading one of those. He's the director of advocacy and political management with the American Farm Bureau Federation. And there is a, well, I'm going to, it's the campaign school is what it is. And it's actually campaign training seminar. It's 2 days in February in Bozeman, 26th and the 27th. So we'll talk about that a little more too, but let's get into kind of the what's and the whatnots. And welcome Mike Sistak. Mike, how you doing, sir?
I'm well, Tom. Thank you for having me. You know, I heard you talking about a Montana weekend. That sounds nice. I'm here in Virginia, and we just have a mountain of ice outside, so we can't go anywhere right now.
Poor dog. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. But yeah. Yeah, happy to be here.
You get out here frequently, though, too, and you probably get around a little bit. I know being based on Capitol Hill, there's a lot of excitement there as well, but there's some drudgery. I think, in going to the Capitol every day and watching things move so slowly, it's probably frustrating. I mean, maybe we'll talk about that too. What's on the plate on Capitol Hill that you guys are concerned about, but let's get into this topic. All right. Let me ask you first, we'll go, you know, who this is, what it is and what it accomplishes, but why do you do this? Why do you think this is important for folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So American Farm Bureau, we developed this program back in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really it was designed, you know, specifically at the time for farmers throughout the United States who were looking at running for office because there wasn't really anything like this. You know, the two parties do campaign schools. There's other organizations that do campaign schools, but really – you know, they're teaching you, you know, like, oh, if you're a doctor and you're going to run for office, well, here's how you run for office as a doctor. We don't do that. We don't teach people how to run for office as a farmer. We teach people how do you run for office with a campaign that wins. And so while it started initially just for our members, you know, we've been doing this since 1987. It has grown since then. And we've had thousands of people from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different stories to tell, thousands of people who have come through our program, for nearly 40 years now. Wow. And we average an 82% success rate for folks who come through our program who go on to win their election.
That's something worth bragging about. I mean, I don't even think the people who, make a living doing this sort of thing can brag about an 82% success rate. So
no, as I like to tell people, 82% guarantee. I would like to take those odds to Vegas, but you know that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, well, you know, you're a farmer anyway, so gambling is in your blood, I guess. What? First off, I mean, what do people know first or need to know first? And there's a lot of things here. Maybe you could break that down. You know, there's messaging and media training. Fundraising is a big part of this. The campaign structure. I think we have chatted just briefly before we got on the air. You know, your issues to run on are also a part of this overall training. But let's get back to the legality of it. And I know you're not a lawyer, but you know, those kinds of things, mixing personal and campaign finances, improper reporting, is there a lot to learn there? Do we make missteps in those areas right off the bat?
So the biggest thing that, you know, we tell people is, yeah, if you avoid mistakes, you are most likely on track to win, because people make big mistakes in campaigns, and usually it's not the legal side of things. You know, you know, you're right. I'm not a lawyer. I'll just play one on TV for a moment. Yeah. But, you know, I always tell people, you know your state's campaign finance rules, you know, follow those, and then, you know, you'll avoid getting in trouble. The mistakes people make really comes down to the messaging. The things that they're saying and the way they say it, or even the issues they're talking about, which aren't reflective of what their voters care about. We're covering the nuts and bolts of a campaign. We're answering the questions that people might not even know that they don't know if they've never run for office before. We break it down, campaign 101. What you need to know and how you are going to win.
How do they access that information? I mean, it's going to be different in every state. And maybe there are a lot of similarities, too, that you can talk about here, like campaign spending limits, maybe filing dates, things like that. Give us an idea, too, of what people need to report and what they forget to report.
Well, so the first thing, if people don't know that already, then I'd tell them register for the school that Montana Farm Bureau is hosting later this month, at their office in Bozeman. They can find out more about how to register at mfbf.org. And I will be there to teach the program. But yeah, you know, it is different state by state. And the things that people need to know is, how do you get on the ballot? You know, what are the campaign finance rules? You know, how much money you're allowed to raise, you know, from an individual, how much money an individual could give your campaign, because it takes money to win an election. You know, knowing the filing deadlines. I could talk all day about examples I've seen throughout the country of candidates who miss a simple filing deadline, just like, hey, this is how much I raise this quarter. And some states are not kind. They'll throw you off the ballot if you miss that deadline. And, wow. You know, there goes all your hard work. But of course, it is different state by state. So, you know, that's why we do this training, because, you know, we help answer some of those questions for the state that we're in.
And campaigns are very competitive as well. So, you know, these little mistakes, they get blown up. And with today's social media structure out there, you know, there's a lot of misinformation. I suppose, I don't know, have you added a section? You've been doing this for 40 years. Mike Sistak with us from the American Farm Bureau Federation. That's FB.org, presenting this with the Montana Farm Bureau Federation, MFBF.org, Advocacy and Political Management. You know, kind of, I guess I forgot the question, but didn't I lay it out for you?
No, you'd have to ask me again. Sorry.
Kind of forgot where I was going with that. The competitiveness of it and the social media aspect of it. Have you had to add that section after 40 years of doing this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So yes, you know, we developed this back in the 80s, and you know, yes, campaigns have changed since then. What hasn't changed is the principles of what it takes to, you know, to win an election. Those haven't changed, and we cover those. Of course, what has changed are the tactics of how you run a successful campaign. I mean, you know, I'm calling you on a smartphone right now. Those didn't exist in the 80s, but if you were really intent on it, you could run a campaign for the White House and win all from your, you know, your iPhone or your smart device now if you really wanted to.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, so we are constantly updating the material for what is the most relevant, what are the best practices. But what hasn't changed are the principles of, you know, that underpin a successful campaign, and that's how the program is built. We cover the principles that you need to know to win, and then we cover the tactics that are going to help you win.
All right, I wrote down principles. Now let fill in underneath there. What are those principles for us?
Yeah, so there's five main things that we cover. And this is how the program is broken down. And it's a 2-day program. You know, this is not for the faint of heart if you're going to join us in Bozeman at the end of the month. And again, anybody listening, if you're interested, go to mfbf.org to find out more and register. But, you know, it's a 2-day program. It's not for the faint of heart. And if you want to run for office, you know, you got to commit to the 2 days. Otherwise, I would tell you shouldn't even be running for office.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're teaching over those 2 days, we're talking about what we call consideration for the candidate. That's knowing yourself, your background, the role of your spouse, if you're married, your family, you know, people's backgrounds as a candidate are very important. And you know, maybe there's something in your background that voters might raise an eyebrow at, and we cover those because weaknesses can be turned into strengths if they're done right.
Mm.
The other piece is exploring the issues that you want to run on. You know, you mentioned this a little earlier. You know, I work on Capitol Hill. That's where American Farm Bureau offices are located, and you know, in our hyper nationalized, hyper politicized environment. You know, everybody thinks things revolve around, you know, on Capitol Hill and what's the latest tweet some elected official in DC sent out. But, you know, there are a lot of issues at the local level happening in people's communities that, you know, you need elected representatives to represent you on those things, you know, at the state legislature, you know, your county board of supervisors, your school board. There are a lot of elected positions in this country that have nothing to do with DC. So it's knowing the issues in your community, and then what can you do about it with the power you are given when you're elected to that specific office?
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time talking about that. Then, of course, we spend a lot of time on budget and fundraising. You know, you can't run for office without raising money, and so we really get into the nuts and bolts of how do you raise money. And if you've never done that before, yeah, it can feel awkward, but you know, we break that down and teach folks, like, this is the successful way to raise money for your campaign. And then there's the various tactics, promoting the candidate through all the various communication means, you know, that's television advertising, radio advertising, the direct mail, you know, those wonderful palm card flyers you get flooded in your mailbox, your physical post office box, you know, every single day of an election. There's a reason candidates do that. Those things are effective. Even if you might find them annoying, there's a reason they do those.
Yeah.
And then finally there's the getting elected piece, turning out your voters to vote for you, ensuring that you win.
Well, if you follow politics for any length of time, you'll remember anecdotes of campaigns that were rolling right along, and then one little simple mistake took the candidate off track, and they were unable to get back on track. There's a group out there, a national level Center for American Progress, an analysis that shows 312 votes in one state shifted healthcare policy for more than 40 million Americans. They note there was 321 votes in a Minnesota legislative race that determined control of that legislature. Laws on abortion, climate, voting rights, firearms, all those things came across the plate. Those elections, those races were critical. Over 85 U.S. Senate races since 1976 have been decided by less than 3%. 410 U.S. House races decided by less than 3%. That's how important it is to try to get things right from the start. Mike Sistak is with us. He's with the American Farm Bureau Federation. The local Montana Farm Bureau Federation is putting on a campaign school. It'll be in February, and it's the 26th and 27th. A lot there. Mike will be out here for the third time, Mike. You've been doing this for, well, a number of years, and the American Farm Bureau for 40 years with this program. So we'll be glad to have you back, and I think we're going to get the best that we can get out there. So thank you for coming back for this one. Let's go into this a little more. So you laid out some principles, five principles. We're going to have time, maybe not all the time we need in this segment, but we're going to have time to go through each of those. Consideration for the candidate was the first one. I think it's very important to do that self-check, that self-awareness. Talk about the value and what that consists of.
Yeah, so consideration for the candidate, I mean, it's really all about you and your background. Because some people are just not electable. Let's just say it right up front. Some people are not electable. I mean, we could spend an entire show just talking about, you know, the people who have been nominated for office that, you know, end up losing in a landslide. And it's like, well, yeah, no kidding.
Right.
So that consideration for the candidate, I mean, we have people do a self-evaluation. We teach them about having objective evaluations from people who know you, who are going to, you know, be honest about, you know, what's in your background, because those things matter. It's understanding your electorate that you for where you're looking to run and knowing what is the right moment to run, because I have advised numerous candidates at every level of office. You know, I've been involved in campaigns and politics for over 18 years now. And plenty of candidates, they have a passion to run, but they know they have to run at the right moment. You know, so people might say, hey, I want to run, but maybe now is not the right time. You know, maybe I know, you know, because the pendulum only swings two ways in this country, and it swings very often and it hits very hard when it's coming back at you. They might say, I'm going to wait this cycle because I know it's probably not going to be a good year for my party. And they try, you know, they try in 2 years or 4 years or, you know, whatever the case may be. Those are the kinds of, the kinds of things that people have to evaluate. You have to meet the moment. And yes, you might have a passion for it, and there might be something you really just want to get out there and make your voice heard on something, but you got to do it at the right moment. Otherwise, nobody's listening.
Talk about turning a weakness into a strength.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of times what I've seen, you know, weaknesses really just come down to, you know, maybe you are not a good public speaker. And that's okay. You know, we've elected people to office who, you know, can't find the right words with a flashlight.
Montana U.S. Senator comes to mind. The former Montana U.S. Senator comes to mind, but sorry, I'll keep that to myself.
Well, I can't say I know Montana politics as well as you do, but I'm gonna take your word for that.
The subtle laugh was all you needed there. Yeah.
All right, fair enough. But you know, if you're not like a good public speaker, you know, those are things that can be taught. You know, there's usually nothing in somebody's background, that I say, yes, that can't be turned around in your favor. Now, I mean, maybe there's something, we were all young people once who did stupid things.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be something that comes back to bite you. But you know what? You can control the message. if you are honest with yourself and say, hey, this could come up. And, you know, a good example of that, everybody remembers the 2000 presidential election. When we were all waiting for the Florida recount to know whether George Bush or Al Gore was going to win that election. But sometimes people forget that, you know, the fact that George W. Bush had a DWI when he was a younger man, cropped up at the 11th hour. And, you know, his campaign tried to not talk about it, and it became an issue. And then he was off message. And that's one of the things that we talk about. You have to be on message talking about your issues, because there's going to be a lot of people who want to knock you off message. And when you're off message, you're not winning.
That's right. That's right. And I've had some experience in that realm. So, do you see people, and we're still on the first principle here about the candidate. Do you see people, and I'm sure you encourage it, a very strong self-evaluation. And then do you see them go, I made my mind up not to run in this position or at this time?
Absolutely. Just because I've been doing this for so long, sometimes, folks who know me will send somebody my way who's interested in running for office. And, you know, I just sit down with them and have a nice conversation over a cup of coffee. And I just, tell them very honestly, like, hey, these are the things you might need to be thinking about. And sometimes people go, yeah, I just don't know if this is for me. Because frankly, when you run for office, your life kind of becomes an open book. And yeah. Some people want to be more private than that, and that's quite all right. Or maybe even they still have young kids in the house,
yeah,
and they don't want to take that time away from their family, because running for office, it is a 24/7 ball game. And as I tell candidates when they come to the school, like, hey, those last couple of months, kiss your spouse, kiss your kids, tell them you love them, and you'll see them at the finish line, because I mean, that's really what it takes. So, yeah, some people decide, like, maybe now is not the right time. I just had a conversation like that a few days ago with somebody who was looking to run for office. And while they're very interested, I know they're taking the time to just to stew on it, because they know it's a big commitment.
Yeah, and I suppose at this point, this is where you bring the family in, or this is where you ask the questions that, is your family on board 100% with you?
Absolutely, because if it's not even just for folks who have a spouse or kids at home. I mean, it's making sure that your parents, if they're still with you, are on board and they support you. Your brother, your sister-in-law, there is a whole network behind you, and there is a role for them to play. And the very first role is they need to be supportive, because there will be those days where you feel like you're just getting beat up, and that's fair. That's politics. It's not for the faint of heart, but you need that network behind you of the people who know you well, who are going to be there to help you through the rough patches. And if they're not on board, you probably shouldn't do it. At least in political spheres, there's the story about Mitch Daniels. He's the former governor of Indiana.
I've done this a couple of times just because looking up facts, I'm a geek that way. And it's fun to explore some of these close races. Ballotpedia has a comprehensive review of close contests, 660 elections between 2018 and 2025 decided by 10 votes or fewer. And there's lots of examples out there as to some of those things that can change a campaign, especially late on. We're with Mike Sistak here as we welcome you back to a Friday edition of Voices of Montana. Mike does a program. The American Farm Bureau Federation has been doing it for 40 years. Mike, maybe into a couple of decades himself on it. I think he said 13 years has been doing this. His third time coming up to Montana. The Montana Farm Bureau Federation, just to get those dates out there again, is the 26th to 27th. It's in Bozeman, Campaign School. There is a cost to it. I think it was like, I don't have it in front of me, Mike, but I think it was like $200 or something like that for this two-day seminar. It's nonpartisan. You get hands-on training here. And we're talking about, you know, kind of what some of those things that you will be picking up there as well. Mike, I appreciate this. I appreciate being able to talk about campaigns, you know, without the pressure right now, because it's a blood sport. But you know, people have got to, they got to have a thick skin. You talked about, you know, is the candidate ready? Considerations for the candidate as one of the first principles. I'm going to move on because there's a lot of good principles here. Number two, you noted was, you guys focus on exploring the issues, the local issues. And then you said something, do you have the power to do something about it? That's where you get into those tactics later on where you stay on message because you know the issues that make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, knowing the issues of your community is what separates a winning candidate from a losing candidate. And, you know, I've had people come through this school. You know, I've taught this in so many different states. I think by the time we get to the end of this campaign cycle for this year, I'll have taught this school at least 25 times, 25 different states. You know, sometimes I get people who they're running for a local office, but all they want to talk about is national issues. And I'm like, listen, national issues are important, but there's a lot that goes on at your local level, and people need leadership there. So if you're not prepared to talk about, you know, teacher performance or roads or utility rates, you know, things that are being decided at the local level, then and maybe you shouldn't be running for office, because, I mean, it is that important. And, you know, just in our environment right now, everything's so hyper-nationalized and, you know, everybody's plugged into social media and whatnot. You know, a lot of voters, a lot of your swing voters, they're getting worn down by it, and they're looking for genuine leadership. And genuine leadership is running on the issues that matter to your community and what you can do about it with the office you're running for.
And I kind of forgot, you launched into a story, and anecdotes are good. We were talking actually about, you know, the gifts of being able to be a good speaker or not. And something sparked your mind in that regard. If you still have that story on the top of your mind, please feel free to share it with us.
Yeah, actually it was about making sure that your family's on board.
Oh, thank you.
I was just gonna tell the story about Mitch Daniels, a former two-term governor of the state of Indiana. He was very popular there, very broad bipartisan appeal. He had been looking at running for president in 2012, and you know, to my understanding, I mean, he was inches away from, you know, from squeezing that trigger and launching his campaign, but It was his daughters who came to him. His adult daughters came to him and said, "Dad, don't do this because, you know, it's going to shine a spotlight on our family that we don't want." And that was it. Mm. He knew if he didn't have the support of his daughters who loved him, then like that, you know, it wasn't worth running for president.
Yeah.
And so that's just always my message to folks is, you know, realize this isn't just about you. You know, running for office, If you become a politician, it's a family business, whether you want it to be or not.
Yeah. So thank you for that. What are the X's and O's of exploring the issues? I've had some experience in this. You know, it's recommended that you get the right issues, but also have a position statement, whether it's a 60-second, 30-second, or 15-second on many other issues as well that you're going to get asked on the campaign trail. What are the X's and O's for getting a candidate prepared to, you know, stay on message with the right issues, but also have a good message for every issue that may come up?
Yeah, so the first thing is we always tell candidates, if you can't tell a voter in 25 words or less why you are running, you're going to lose them. Mm. And so being able to say that quick elevator pitch, it really comes down to, you know, knowing the issues in your community that you want to do something about. And really knowing the issues, most people are already talking about the things that make them mad. All right. People aren't shy about saying, you know, here's what makes me mad, and, you know, the government needs to do something about it. You know, and that's why you see so many candidates, you know, right now as we speak, running on issues of the economy and affordability. Pretty much every office people are running for right now, they're talking about that. And that's great. But what can they do about it, you know, with the office that they're running for? You know, if you're running for, you know, your county board of supervisors and you're talking about affordability, what can you do? You know, is it lowering property tax rates, you know, or things like that? And so it's really just listening to what your community is already saying and then reflecting what people are upset about, and then what are you going to do about it? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Now, of course, we get into that in the campaign school, but that is the quick answer.
What do you tell them then for principle number three about budgeting and fundraising?
Yeah, so it takes money to win an election, all right? And I'm always looking for, you know, if a candidate can't tell me, you know, oh, hey, I've raised, you know, $100,000, and it all came from folks who gave a small dollar donation, you know, that typically we define as $200 or less. If a candidate can't tell me that, I don't believe that they have real support, because if people aren't willing to give you their money, why the heck are they going to give you their vote? Mm-hmm. I mean, either way, it's a bad investment for them. And it doesn't matter if it's a $1 donation or a $5,000 donation. You know, that money means something to people. And so the best candidates are the ones who learn how to ask for money. And it's not easy, but of course, we go through the strategies of how do you do that.
Yeah, give us a few.
Well, there are a lot of different ways to raise money these days. And the biggest one is, frankly, just the device I'm talking to you on right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the digital fundraising has made things so easy. There's so many services out there. You know, if you're a Republican, there's WinRed. If you're a Democrat, there's Act Blue. They make it so easy to raise money now. But you have to be willing to put in the work and know how to use those and how to effectively ask people.
Do you, I mean, and that's just a basic aspect of this. You've got to be able to do that. What about budgeting then? Do you guys have like a sample budget of, you know, spend 20% here, 30% there, so to speak?
Yeah, you're nailing it. Actually, yeah. We go through how much people should spend on what, and the biggest piece of that leads into the fourth thing I talked about, the campaign tactics. And like we always tell people, spend 60% of your entire budget on your communication strategy, because that's about getting your message out.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got to talk to, you know, 50,000 Montanans to get elected, I mean, it's really hard to go and talk to 50,000 people face to face and shake their hand. So you've got to have a good communication strategy. And so we always tell people, yeah, you got to plan to spend 60% of your budget on your communication strategy. Otherwise, people aren't going to know who you are. And if they don't know who you are, why would they vote for you?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, especially for new candidates. Number four, then, tactics, you know, how to promote. It's all related, that's for sure. Understand the issues, you know, put a budget around that for communication strategy. What are some of those tactics that you guys talk about?
Yeah, so it's the big one that we spend a lot of time on is called direct mail. And for your listeners, those are those nice, flashy, colorful palm cards that you get in your post office box throughout an election. And I can hear your listeners rolling their eyes when
yes.
I talk about that.
Yes.
Because you get a lot of those, all right? But the thing is, the secret here, those are so effective because the average voter, they will read those. Now, they might only give you 60 to 90 seconds of their time, but they will read it. And so that is the key way that you can get them the information that they need to know in a short amount of time. But of course, those things aren't cheap, which leads back to, you know, the fundraising. You got to raise money to be able to send out direct mail.
And then the other tactics about, you know, you got to be in a lot of places, that's for sure. But I suppose the main thing here, too, is to stay on message.
Staying on message is so critical. You know, we always, you know, tell candidates, you know, that there's this saying in politics that if you're explaining, you're losing. All right. And if you're explaining, you're off message. All right. Because yeah. Staying on message is, like I said, with exploring the issues, talking to the voters about the things that they're already concerned about, and then what are you going to do about it once you're elected? So, I mean, if you're talking about anything else, you're off message, and then you're not winning people to your side. And, you know, as you've talked about, you know, we've had so many races in this country decided by literally dozens of votes. And if you're off message and you lose by 12 votes, you know what? You being off message may have been the reason that you didn't get those 12 votes that you needed.
Yeah, boy, I always remember a comment from somebody I worked for. It was Danny Reberg, a congressman, and he said, you can lose an election all by yourself, but you can't win an election all by yourself.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. And that leads into some of the other tactics, which, you know, having volunteers. I mean, every campaign, regardless of size, needs volunteers because there's so much going on. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it takes a well-organized team to get a person elected, and that's of course one of the things that we cover.
I'm gonna run out of time here. Give me a little a quick one here on the fifth and final principle, getting elected, the getting out the vote.
Yeah, so you have to get out the people that you have gotten committed to support you. Good campaigns, they build a list of the voters that have said that they're going to vote for them, and then they have a plan for getting them out to vote, and whether that's on election day or absentee, you know, whatever the case is. Good campaigns build that list so that when they get to election day, they have a high degree of certainty that, like, hey, we've turned our people out, we're going to win this thing.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not rocket science. There's a lot of steps that you can take here, but it is going to be a lot of work, isn't it?
It is a lot of work, and it's not for the faint of heart. But, you know, if anybody who's listening is interested, go to mfbf.org, the Montana Farm Bureau website, to learn more about how you can register. I'm just asking for 2 days of your time where, you know, you're going to walk out of there, your brain's going to feel beaten in because I'm going to fill you with a lot of information. But I've yet to have anybody walk out of my school not feeling more confident about running than when they walked in on that first day.
Well, I've had, 40 minutes of it here, and I've got copious notes.
maybe we'll see you there, right?
Yeah,
you're running for office now.
I don't have a thick enough skin for that, Mike.
And there's another thing we teach. You got to have a thick skin.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate this. It was fun to talk about it, and I hope for people fun to listen to as well. I got a text message. I'll get to that after the break here. We're up against it. Mike Sistak, okay, and those dates are February 26th and 27th. It'll be in Bozeman there, and it's hands-on stuff. So as he noted, mfbf.org for more information. It's pretty easy to get to. Carly Johnson will also be a part of that too. Hey, Mike, good to chat with you. Thank you so much. Have yourself a sane campaign season.
I appreciate it, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll talk to you down the road, too. I know. Very much appreciate this.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.